You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome and welcome back if you're rejoining us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host for this next hour. Hope your Thursday afternoon is starting off well. Some breaking local news this afternoon, which I found to be just fascinating, and I wanted to start there. Do you remember this whole hubbub not too long ago about Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Dalich? She was scheduled to speak at an NAACP fundraiser last year, and there was some conservative backlash about that. And she ended up canceling her appearance. Well, as I like to say, Republicans seem to have a set of rules for me, meaning Republicans, and then a separate set of rules for thee, meaning Democrats. And that is playing out in the last 24 hours. This is reporting from Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It states in the Wisconsin Judicial Code of Conduct that a judge may not, quote, personally participate in the solicitation of funds or other fundraising activities, end quote, for charitable, political, whatever, anything that you want. Basically, if it's fundraising, you can't do that for other organizations because it looks like your independence is being put into question. But yesterday, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice and hyper-partisan Rebecca Bradley was the featured speaker, not at like generical advocacy organization that someone can say has a liberal or conservative bend, you know, like the NAACP. No. She was the keynote speaker at the Republican National Lawyers Association in Madison. Wow. Now here's where it gets really interesting. Her name and face, big smiling picture, was used on the Republican National Lawyers Association webpage advertising the event that included some huge buttons that said, donate now, join us, and advertised various, you know, sponsorships where you pay money to buy tables or have your company's logo affiliated with the event. Sure seems to me like that might run afoul of the old judicial conduct's code that says judges may not, quote, personally participate in the solicitation of funds or other fundraising activities. Now, you didn't have to pay to go to this event, but it wasn't just open to the public either. You had to RSVP. But the point was, they were selling sponsorships. I don't know. Does that seem like a solicitation of funds? It sure does to me. So how is this not a violation of the Judicial Code of Conduct? I just don't understand it. It defies the meaning of words as we generally understand them here in Wisconsin. Again, the website included a donate now button hyperlink next to her picture, and there were sponsorship packages that you could purchase from $500 to $2,500. So I just don't get it. I just do not get it. Now, according to Mark Belling, Rebecca Bradley is not likely to run for another 10-year term. She hasn't confirmed that, but I found this very fascinating. Here's the other little wrinkle here. It turns out that there is a linkage, if you will, that is very odd, very, very odd. And here it is. Once this became a point of investigation by Dan Bice, they actually took down the sponsorship section for the event. So they get called on it. Hey, you're not supposed to be doing this. Oh, we'll just never mind those pesky sponsorships and our solicitation of funds. And they took down those things from their website. which again might sort of indicate that you probably shouldn't have been doing any of this. I think it's all just very, very strange. Now, the committee, this is the Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee in 1988. In other words, these are the folks that make sure judges are following the code of conduct, was asked back in, again, 1988, if a judge could even participate as a celebrity judge in a fundraising event for a charitable organization. And the answer was no. So if you can't even be a judge, I don't get how Justice Bradley gets to talk at the Republican National Lawyers Association meeting in Madison yesterday and not violate the code of conduct. I mean, this is pretty gross. And again, there's no question about Rebecca Bradley's political leanings. She was appointed to three different judicial jobs by former Republican Governor Scott Walker. In her 2016 campaign, the Republican Party of Wisconsin was her biggest donor. She attended the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee, and she also went to after parties hosted by Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform and Americans for Prosperity. And in 2023, Bradley administered the oath of office to the newly elected leaders of the Republican Women of Waukesha County. Okay. And here's the last little tiny factoid that makes this even more unseemly. The Wisconsin chair of the Republican National Lawyers Association is Lane Ruland, okay? Oh, guess who's the assistant treasurer of Bradley's campaign committee? Everyone together now, is that, yes, Lane Ruland. I don't get how any of this is okay. It shouldn't be okay for a left-leaning Supreme Court justice, and it wasn't. Rebecca Dallet dropped out of doing something that I think was less obviously in violation of the judicial code of conduct. But Bradley seems to relish in these sorts of violations. I just don't think this is all right. Mike Brown of A Better Wisconsin Together had this to say about it. It's no surprise Rebecca Bradley would toss aside ethics to fundraise for an outfit that brags about how closely they worked with Donald Trump's campaign. For her entire tenure on a court, she's been a shill for the right-wing extremists and special interests. I don't always agree with Dan Bice of the Journal Sentinel, but I absolutely agree with Dan Bice on this one. A right-wing shill? Yes, I should say so. And in other breaking news, there is this thing that happens in the reconciliation bill process. This is the big, brutal bill, right? Like the House adopted a version of the reconciliation bill, and now it's with the Senate. There is this technical process that occurs when the Senate's parliamentarian has to review the legislation that the Senate is proposing to adopt as its version of the reconciliation bill. And the Senate's parliamentarian reviews it to make sure that it is about the budget. It has to be narrowly focused about the budget. You can't sort of change the law in other ways. You can't use the budget bill in effect to pass new legislation or materially alter other laws. Now, as we've been talking about the big brutal bill for weeks and weeks and weeks, especially its extraordinarily destructive impacts here in the state of Wisconsin, we've been talking about serious policy changes. One of the biggest elements that the Republicans in the Senate were relying upon in order to pass and make the math work, sort of, kind of, even though it's exploding the deficit by trillions more, but to sort of make the math work, is that they relied upon reducing Medicaid costs, not just by cutting Medicaid for tens of millions of Americans, but by cracking down on, quote, what's called a state provider tax, a provision that was supposed to have a nearly nine-figure impact. That's hundreds of millions of dollars on the bill. And again, this is a state provider tax. So if you were providing Medicaid-based or Medicaid-funded health services, there was going to be a tax, a state tax of some kind that Republicans were proposing. Now, here's what's important. The parliamentarian has concluded that they can't do that in the big, brutal bill. They can't backdoor in this new sort of legislative change, this policy change to how Medicaid works and how it is administered by states. That's a bridge too far, according to the Senate parliamentarian. That's a huge freaking problem because, again, it was worth hundreds of billions of dollars in that reconciliation plan. So the parliamentarian has said, that's a no-go. Now, in case you have been, you know, reading up on all the wonky parliamentarian decisions over the last week and a half, the Senate parliamentarian has also axed the prohibition of taxing this another sleight of hand that the Republicans in the House did relating to silencers that made it an easier and cheaper to buy silencers. They were doing this for sawed-off shotguns, if you can believe it. Yeah, that sounds like policy, doesn't it? So the parliamentarian has been slowly going through the Senate's version of the reconciliation bill and axing a whole gamut of things, including the provision that they tried to insert in the House's version that would have constrained federal court judges entering injunctions. This was the idea that if you sought an injunction or a contempt ruling, holding a party in violation of an injunction or another court order, that party would have to post a bond or an amount of money. They've struck that down. That was also a big area of angst for a lot of folks because it would have potentially constrained a federal court's ability to enter orders to maintain the status quo and punish parties who may violate those orders. So again, all of these things have been happening kind of in the wonk area of the Senate reconciliation bill. But this decision today is massive, and it appears that it has derailed the potential vote scheduled for tomorrow on the big, brutal bill in the Senate. Senator Kennedy, a Republican of Louisiana, says he believes that the vote on the big, brutal bill scheduled for tomorrow will now be postponed. They can't make the math because of this technical decision by the Senate's parliamentarian. I'm going to call this good news, everybody, and we're going to talk more about the impacts of the big, brutal bill here on Wisconsinites closer to home when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us, and happy Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your host, this hour. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. If you'd like to join our discussion about the big, brutal bill, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, do you think it's going to pass the Senate? What do you think it's going to mean for Wisconsin? Specifically, do you or someone in your family, someone that you may be close to, have you received emergency food assistance? Do you currently rely on Badger Care for your health care? Are you a veteran worried about further closings of Veterans Administration offices throughout the state? Because the amount of spending here in the state of Wisconsin, spending by the federal government for these programs, is simply big, really big. Medicaid, somewhere in the ballpark of $13 billion in Medicaid expenditures by the federal government here in the state of Wisconsin. What happens when people fall off of Medicaid, when they can't access health care anymore? They still need health care. Who's going to end up paying for that? My suggestion is it's still us It's just going to be through higher premiums and deductibles as people are forced to show up in emergency rooms. Food share, emergency food assistance, also known as SNAP, that's $1.4 billion here in the state of Wisconsin. That's at risk. So it is really important for us to understand what is at stake with the big, brutal bill. The estimates, according to the Center for American Progress Action Fund, is that 67,000 Wisconsinites may lose their health insurance from Republican-controlled congressional districts. I'm going to repeat that. It's 67,000 people may lose their health insurance from Republican-controlled congressional districts. So yeah, we're talking about Derek Van Orten's district and Brian Stile, Tony Weed, all of those places. It's nearly 100,000 Wisconsinites in total are projected to lose their health insurance. When we turn and look at emergency food assistance, it's nearly 150,000 Wisconsinites will be going hungry because of the big, brutal bill. And of those, nearly 100,000 of them are in Republican-controlled congressional districts. We can also finally look at the number of Wisconsin jobs that are at risk of being eliminated because of the big, brutal bill's elimination of clean energy tax credits. And that number is nearly 3,000. Of that, 2,500 of those jobs are in Republican congressional districts. So what are they doing? And what is the purpose of all of this? It's not going to make Medicaid any more efficient. People still want to cheat on it. They're going to figure that out. The vast majority of people on Medicaid work full-time already. They are properly eligible. So it's not about any of that. It's about giving more tax cuts for the ultra-wealthy, and I mean folks with 50 mil in the bank or more, and it's about giving tax cuts to the mega corporations of the world. For what? So that we're sicker, poorer, hungrier, even more existentially anxious than we are today? And the big, brutal bill, it's going to cost Wisconsin taxpayers so much more as well. These estimates from the Wisconsin Policy Foundation is that the big, brutal bill will cost Wisconsinites somewhere in the ballpark of $285 to $320 million more per year to have less health care in our state. Make this make sense. Ken from Stoughton, texting in from WMDX, says a family member was a single parent working with what most would call a decent job. The employer provided health insurance premium meant that his family member couldn't pay rent. So that family member used Badger Care. I'm certain there are stories like this throughout the state. And I think one of the questions that we all have to look at is, I think that Republicans have long relied on the assumption by many of their voters in their base that the cuts, the brutality, the cruelty, their base assumed it was never going to affect them. They weren't the targets. But I guarantee you, you are the target of the cuts. You, your family members, a coworker maybe, you and me and our communities will be hurt and hurt badly by the big, brutal bill. And it just makes the deficit worse by trillions and trillions of dollars. So none of this makes any sense at all. Now, to return to where we began this segment and a bit before, with this parliamentarian introducing and saying, hey, some of these provisions just don't work. Now, Senate Republicans are promising to rework that state Medicaid provider tax provision, but I don't think they're going to hit that July 4th deadline. If they do, it's going to be just like what happened in the House, where this sucker is rewritten and then passed in the middle of the night. And let me suggest to you, if you're going to rip food out of the mouths of kids in the state of Wisconsin, if you're going to rip people's health care away from them in the state of Wisconsin, despite the fact that they're working full-time jobs, don't do it in the middle of the night. Stand up and defend that in the bright light of day and tell us why it's a good idea. Tell us why tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires and mega corporations are worth kids going hungry. Cuts to veteran benefits and making life-saving health care inaccessible to many Wisconsinites. I don't think so. We continue this discussion on the other side right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm your host of this, the Maggie Dawn Show. If you're listening, do you maybe have a parent who's already struggling to pay for health insurance, perhaps their rent and to buy food? Call me. Tell me about it. 855-752-4842. Because if you're already struggling, and let's say you're receiving Medicare, your health insurance comes through Badger Care or Family Care, these cuts will impact you and your family. I want to hear about it because I think it's so important for us to sort of get past the abstract and to actually hear from the real people whose lives this is going to impact. 855-752-4842. What are you most worried about in your circle of friends, colleagues, and family about the big, brutal bill whose impacts apparently Wisconsin Republicans aren't worried about at all as they're discussing and debating our biennial budget, which also is going to make things worse for regular people here in Wisconsin with draconian cuts to childcare and public education and our university system. So what are you most concerned about? Is there someone in your life that you know that you think may not be able to make ends meet, that may have to choose between getting their prescriptions filled and grocery shopping? 855-752-4842. And I wanted to share a little bit about my family. When I was growing up, my grandma was the recipient of some food support from Meals on Wheels. She was on Medicaid. She received Medicare as well. She had some rental supports. I can't imagine her being able to maintain her independence for as long as she did without those things. And it was incredibly important to her to stay in her own apartment, to maintain her independence for as long as her body and her mind would permit her to do. Now, it took my folks basically like full-time job type hours to help her access all those things and keep up with all the paperwork requirements. I can't imagine how much worse it's about to get. What we're doing is creating, through the big, brutal bill, paperwork barriers for people to access benefits that they need, that they are entitled to, and that, yes, they deserve. It shouldn't be the case that a parent spends their life raising kids, maybe taking care of neighbors, or working minimum wage or slightly over minimum wage jobs for their entire life, and now they live hand to mouth, and after the big brutal bill, won't be able to afford health insurance anymore. That's not right. Or even if they can afford it, navigate the systems, which are already complex enough and which promise to get even more complicated. And the point there isn't to ensure that people deserve the benefit or that they're actually eligible. The point is to push people off of Medicaid. That's how they have to make the math work in order to give Jeff Bezos, George Soros, and Elon Musk and Donald Trump tax cuts. I rarely agree with Josh Hawley, but he called the big brutal bill immoral. Where is Josh Hawley now? I'd certainly like to know. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Ellen from Cedarburg, good afternoon. Please, what do you have to share with us?
Hi. Hi. Both my daughter and I would be severely impacted by a loss of Medicaid. I would lose coverage of all my, unfortunately, I take a lot of medications, and that would be, I can't even imagine where I would end up. And my daughter also, she has several autoimmune conditions, and this is the Medicaid is the only way she can get those attended to. So that's our story.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing, Ellen. I really appreciate it. I hope you're out there telling folks that these are challenges for you, if that's comfortable for you, because I think it matters that we start talking to our friends and neighbors and share these parts of our lives that, hey, we all on occasion need help. And the folks that haven't ever needed help in their lives, well, count your blessings, because there's very few of you. Ali from the Northwoods, how are you doing this afternoon? Good to hear from you. What do you want to say?
Well, I would like to say that I think this is terrible what they're doing to the American people and lying to everyone about it when they know what they're doing. And I have no people who our family has benefited different times because of different crises. I have gotten Medicaid and food stamps and things over the years. And I know of one lady who is 75 years old, and she's raising two and sometimes three of her great-grandchildren because of an accident that her grandson had, and he is in a group home. And if Medicare is cut or Medicaid is cut, they will all be in a world of hurt. He will lose his placing in that group home. He's not able to be at home with them. And how will she raise those three kids? She's 75 years old. She has health issues of her own, and she works a part-time job. She's called me crying before, needing help with keeping up with electric bills and things. And yeah. I can't imagine how she will manage now.
Mm. Thanks so much, Ali in the Northwoods, for sharing. Do you have a story that you wish to share, a time in your life, or perhaps now when you need some help, when Badger Care is a literal lifeline for you or your family or those that you know and love? Mary from Wauwatosa, thanks for calling. What do you have to share this afternoon?
Hi, Maggie. For decades, I've been on the path as caregiver of a family member with a psychiatric disorder. And I don't hear discussion about the very, very many people diagnosed with, you know, significant psychiatric illnesses. And they're oftentimes, many times, they're unable to work. They're totally dependent on government benefits. And so these people are really, really at risk, you know, for losing their homes. And you know, if group homes are affected, medical benefits withdrawn. It's really, really worrisome for this community of people, both the people diagnosed and the family members.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mary, having worked with Milwaukee County for a bit over 7 years as their corporation counsel. We saw firsthand that the systems in our communities don't work well for people that have serious mental health issues. And Mary, you bring me to another point that I think is really saddening and frustrating for me. I was thinking, you know, who benefits from the big brutal bill? Who benefits from the MAGA Republicans' state biennial budget gutting public school education, gutting higher education, gutting childcare? Who stands to benefit? Well, it's obviously the billionaires. It's obviously the mega corporations, but it's also a particular type of business that benefits. And that's the prison industry. We have failed so many people, and the brutal bill promises to punish unjustifiably those who are at greatest risk in our communities. And we've especially been failing those with very serious mental health conditions for a long time in this country. So where do people end up? Well, they end up unhoused, and folks end up incarcerated. So make no mistake, we invest in public education, or we spend it in our prison systems. We give people health care. We ensure that those that are working, those that have serious mental health issues that keep them from working, those that are caretaking for other people, those that have serious disabilities, that they're not forced out into the street. We do right by people, or we end up locking people up. So make no mistake, we pay for this. We all pay for it. Do we pay for it by ensuring that people have some basic dignity? Or do we punish people because they need some help once in a while? It's truly, truly shocking. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. My thanks to Ellen in Cedarburg, Ollie in the Northwoods, and Mary in Wauwatosa. And I think my senior producer, Jamie, wanted to share a bit of her family story as well. So, Jamie, if you're there, you are welcome to hop on and join us and tell us a little bit about your family's journey with Medicaid.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a few years ago, we moved to the great state of Wisconsin from the Twin Cities with a hope and a dream of buying a radio station in the great town of Baraboo. And we didn't even know if we were going to have that radio station when we actually came. It wasn't a done deal in any way, shape, or form. We actually had to use Badger Care, especially for our two young boys at the time. And it was a lifeline for us for a good year. We were able to get off of it and have our own health insurance after that. But, you know, without it, that first year would have been rough. You know, and then I look at the situation we're in right now. I have one of the greatest moms in the world. She is one of the sweetest human beings. She has worked hard her entire life. I'm an only child. My family did construction my whole life. My dad died 20 years ago, very unexpectedly, very suddenly. She'd always stayed at home with me. There wasn't a lot of social security. And right now she lives on $940 a month. And, you know, by the time she pays her rent, by the time she pays for her Medicare, because there's still fees attached for that, by the time she buys her medicines, because she's also in congestive heart failure, we're talking maybe $40 left at the end of the month. And these are the type of people we're talking about cutting funds from. It's blasphemy. It's absolutely insanity where we're at right now and why we're having these discussions. We all know somebody like that. We all know somebody who's living within those parameters. It doesn't matter if they go to your church, if they're in your school, if you work with them, you know somebody living within those means. And what is happening? It's unfair, it's cruel, and it's, there's no words. Like, I run out of words when I try to think of it. And there's a lot of things I want to say. I can't, though, because FCC compliancy on the radio.
Yes.
But it's insanity. That's where we'll leave it, for me anyway.
And Jamie, you remind me, I dated a man who started his own painting company. He used Badger Care for years. So what are we talking about? And oh, let's not forget that there's not just the Medicaid cuts. They're also going to make healthcare accessed through the Affordable Care Act and our healthcare exchanges considerably more expensive. And is it actually good politics? It's not. I'm going to share some of the statistics in a recent Fox poll with you when we come back. The big brutal bill discussion continues on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Go back, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host. We're in the last segment of the afternoon. Hope your Thursday is winding up well. We've been talking about the big brutal bill and the harm that it's going to cause to real people here in Wisconsin. We heard from Ollie in the Northwoods, Mary from Wauwatosa, as well as Ellen from Cedarburg. I've also heard from Cam on the text line, Tom in New Berlin, Andrea in Grafton, all so angry about what's going on. And it really, it doesn't make any sense. Unless you're a billionaire or a 100 millionaire or so, or own a mega corporation, then it makes good sense. Unless you build prisons or make money off of incarcerating people, then it probably makes sense. And we heard from Jamie, my senior producer, about her family's story, about her mom's struggles, about what's at risk for people. But here's the thing. I really do not know why so many Republicans are supporting this. So many people that live in Republican-controlled states, that live in Republican congressional districts, like here in the state of Wisconsin, are going to be hurt and hurt badly. So it's bad politics. And incredibly, the Senate leader from the Republican Party, Tom Tillis, also knows it. Let's take a listen. Here's
Tom
Tillis.
I think that the Medicaid cuts are directionally right, but I think very difficult for the states to absorb. And we've just got to figure out a way to achieve what we're trying to do, bend the curve.
But right now, this could have a big negative impact on North Carolina, the Medicaid cuts.
I think, current estimates are about $38 billion over 10 years. That's a big impact.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody believes that the current text is final, so I don't believe anybody would vote for it in its current form. We've got a lot of things that we're working on.
Got a lot of things that we're working on, like cutting Medicaid. I mean, apparently Republican senators got together and talked about the cuts that will happen in Republican-controlled states, like Virginia, $25 billion, North Carolina, $39 billion, South Carolina, $20 billion, Louisiana, $20 billion, Kentucky, $12 million, Tennessee. Excuse me, I keep saying million. It's billion, B, billion. South Carolina, $20 billion, Ohio, $8.4 billion, West Virginia, $6.2 billion, Missouri, $6.1 billion, Iowa. You know where Joni Ernst said we're all going to die? Yeah, to the tune of $4.1 billion less. It doesn't make any sense. So why are we here? Why is this happening? It's happening because Congress, Republicans in Congress, no longer have any spine at all. It's not a Republican Party anymore, and they're not even Republicans. It's just MAGA. And Donald Trump wants more tax cuts for the ultra-wealthy and mega corporations. The Fox News poll, just over this past week, 59% of Americans oppose the big, brutal bill. Only 38 support it. This is bad politics. It's bad for Americans. So why are we going on this death march together for the murder bill? I just don't get it. Because the Republican Party has lost its way and wants to appease the dear leader? To what end? They're going to lose their seats, and they damn well should. And by the way, the Supreme Court dropped a decision earlier today that is going to make it even harder for poor people to access health care through Medicaid. The Supreme Court has decided that states can, for whatever mealy-mouthed, willy-nilly reasons they want, because they don't like the politics of a particular healthcare provider, even though that they are a qualified and licensed provider under Medicaid, the state can just decide, yeah, that provider is no good here in the state, and shut providers down, in effect, because that provider will be ineligible to serve patients who have their health care through Medicaid. Can you imagine the impacts in rural areas where there's already health care deserts, where there's already too few hospitals, where there's already too few medical providers? Thank you, Supreme Court. I just want to say this in this moment. The elites have failed. Harvard is doing its best, but Columbia bent a knee. Jeff Bezos used to stick up to Donald Trump in the first administration, but he's bent a knee. Meta used to have content moderation, and then Mark Zuckerberg decided that his pocketbook was more important than American lives. The wealthiest among us, the tech bros and oligarchs and Wall Street and elite universities and elite law firms, have all been bending a knee to Donald Trump. And Congress has, and the Supreme Court has. But do you know who hasn't? Who hasn't bent a knee? Who will have to stand up and do the hardest work imaginable? That's me and you. That's the 75 million Americans that voted for Kamala Harris, even if they didn't particularly think she was the best candidate of all time. But it's also going to come down to the people that stayed home in November, because they're going to get hurt too. It's up to Republicans and conservatives of good faith. It's up to us now. Don't look anywhere else but inward to you to stand up for what is right. That's going to do it for me. And folks, you got Jim Santel tomorrow hosting for me. He's going to break down all this action from the Supreme Court this week in the weird Donald Trump lawsuit. He's suing all the federal judges in Maryland. Weird. Jim will discuss. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.